Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, hey, it's still a series winner. Keep things in perspective. The Brewers did a lot of good things this weekend against Miami. They fall in the finale 5-3. Now it's on to Detroit after the off day tomorrow. It's still a successful weekend. Would have nice to have had the sprinkles on top of the icing, but it's just a cake with icing, and that's still perfectly fine. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Cotroneo. You know, I watched this game, and the way I described it over on Twitter to tease the show is just the Brewers played poorly for one inning, and they played great for one inning. Everything else was just kind of meh.
It really was, Dom. This is one of these games that I get frustrated when I feel like it was over in the first inning. You know what I mean? I mean, you give up you play really poorly all the way around in the first inning, and three runs end up coming in. And that was for today. It was just too much to overcome, unfortunately. A lot of good things happened after that, but certainly not enough.
Yeah, when you're facing Yuri Perez, and he had the goods today, he goes six strong today, only allowing one run, and even that run was unearned. So the way that the Brewers started this game was just like, oh, geez, you're instantly on your back foot with a leadoff walk. You know, I know only one run was earned in that first inning against Jacob Mizrowski. Giving up three runs in the first inning is never on anyone's bingo card, but, you know, a leadoff walk, that's sin number one. Sin number two was the E6 on David Hamilton, just getting out. You would have traded the run. He was trying to do a little too much. You could see him thinking, can I try to squeeze in two here, and just came in a little too quick. And then sin number three, I thought, was the pitch calling to Liam Hicks when you had him ahead 1-2, and then he was late on a fastball, swing and miss, and then he follows up with a curveball, and then he hits a base hit to the other way. I mean, I just thought that, you know, one of those runs is on Miz, the leadoff walk. One of those runs is on Hamilton, the error. And one of those runs is on Gary for the pitch calling, because the rest of the game, the Brewers got back to playing Brewers baseball.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they put a lineup out there today, too, that we're not going to see very often. You know, Murph gave a lot of starters the day off here in this one. And rightly so. That's fine. Contreras, Frelick, Ortiz, you know, started on the bench until to the very end of the game. And then with Sanchez behind the plate, I think on the telecast that BA made a really good point on that wild pitch that scored the run that Sanchez doesn't catch very often. We all understand that. And then today, you know, having to, you know, be the battery mate with Miz, it is a tough assignment. And, you know, so that's part of it, part of things being a little disjointed, you know, along the way. You could, your disjointed list today is just a lot longer, unfortunately, than, you know, the real positive things. Just because, you know, look, and during the four game, you know, winning streak, we talked about this yesterday. Everything has to do with the starting pitching in that winning streak. And those four starts the Brewers got, in fact, I think if you go back even the final two games of that losing streak, they've been good. And today Perez was good from the beginning, but that leadoff walk today by Miz just kind of, you know, sometimes that just sets the tone. That's just how it goes sometimes. But you know what, Dom? These are things that he needs to experience. It's not that he needs to learn them. He needs to experience them and then move forward from there. And, you know, Murph's mound visit was big early, I thought, too. Those are just another example of things that, you know, he has to absorb and experience.
Yeah, I think the way that the Brewers got the message very quickly when each of the first four batters reached in this game, then he quickly got Augustin Ramirez to bounce into a 4-6-3 double play in the first inning. That saved the whole game for the Brewers to even stay in the hunt, quite frankly. But the other thing about Miz, you mentioned it, experiencing it. This is only his 20th big league start, right? I mean, you're a little past halfway of a regular full season now in his eyes, right? You make maybe 30 to 34 starts as a frontline starter. He's at 20 of them now, and he's still somebody that he's never had a walk-free start, which I think is just a mind-blowing stat to this point in his career. And there's the double edge of, hey, cool, he threw 29 pitches 100 miles an hour or above, which matched his high in a regular season game. But yet he had three walks. He struggled with his command. Only 50% of his fastballs were strikes today. And that 30-pitch first inning did him in because, I mean, he was really starting to find his groove later in this game, but you could see the velo start to slowly tick down. The Marlins had no answer for his fastball. I mean, they could not touch it. And for some reason, he was airmailing it, missing up, missing big with it once again. And that kind of comes back to this meh comment that we make. Like, yes, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth were zeros in the inning, but it wasn't, you know, the Miz that is, hey, I've got this under control. It was, thank goodness we're swinging at everything right now.
Yeah, and I think with the walk issues that he's had in all 20 of his starts, that is an unbelievable number. I wasn't aware of that until now. And then the high number of strikeouts he always has. This is what makes getting through five innings difficult for him. 97 pitches, five innings, but that's kind of been the what he has become here early in his major league career. So I say this, and I know we've talked about this in the past as well. When he figures things out, he matures a little bit and understands what's important and what's not in some of these games that he's pitching. If he gets into the sixth and seventh inning routinely, now you're really going to start talking about all that potential that's still trapped inside his body here right now, that he's compacting a game into five innings at best, a whole game's worth of pitches into five innings at best. I don't see that in his future, but I'm not sure exactly when that turning point's going to be, but he is oozing with talent. He still showed some of that today, but he's not going to get it every single time he pitches.
Still so much good to highlight from Miz, right? 19 yeah. swings and misses, nine more strikeouts. So now when you look at it in Brewers franchise history, first five games of a season to who has the most strikeouts. No surprise, Corbin Burns number one at 49 in his first five games. That was back in the Cy Young season in 2021. Then it's Corbin again in 2022. And now Miz is tied for third all time. And I don't think you're going to guess who he's tied for third with, but I'll give you one quick crack at it, Craig. 42 strikeouts in the first five games of the season. Mizorowski is tied with who?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. I did not catch what the who that was. I'll just say Ben Sheets.
It's what I would have imagined. I would have even thrown in like a CC Sabathia in here. No, it's Eric Lauer in 2022. I would have never got to that.
Well,
line.
Sure it is.
Of course, right? Sometimes stats are funny. So that's your top three for most strikeouts to start a season. Let's talk a little bit about the offensive side. I mean, Yuri, you can do both things. The Brewers had a bleh day on offense, but also Yuri Perez is really darn good. Brewers fall 5-3. They still win the series against the Marlins right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings rolling on here. I'm Dom Catronio with Craig Gashon. If you miss any of it, remember they're always in podcast form. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. Do a little hot and cold, brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. For a limited time at Sider, you can get a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry. Spots are limited. Call today or visit Sider.com, Sider.com, to schedule your appointment. You know, who's hot? Yuri Perez. I mean, he was dominant today at times. He was somebody that certainly had control of the game. That fastball is electric. He finishes his day with seven strikeouts, just one walk, and of course, that one rock came around to score. For Yuri, he only pitched, let me see here, I think it's 11 pitches with a runner in scoring position today. He just kept the Brewers completely at bay, and they never really got a chance to get any sort of sustained offense against him.
No, he was really looking good, you know, from a Miami perspective from the get-go here in this one. Just a great mix, as you mentioned, and really – I'm just looking at what he was able to do out there, even though the Brewers got that run on the board in the sixth inning, the unearned run against him. I mean, he was just really never threatened in this game. And if he did feel any heat at all, you couldn't tell. So he had his stuff today. It was just a great mix, and he was in control. I mean, it was his game really from the get-go. And he did a very good job. He's got a bunch of great things to look forward to in his young career.
You know, when I look at the moment that I thought the Brewers maybe could have made something out of nothing, was the fourth inning when Terang led off with a single. And this was something in the scouting report that came up later when David Hamilton stole second. But Eury Pérez does not hold runners well. The Marlins as a team, and I've got some takes on the Marlins of how they handle their catchers. But, you know, the Marlins as a team are terrible at managing the running game. And with Gary Sanchez hitting third today, you know, if you have a man on first, Bryce has got to have the green light ASAP. Now, maybe Bryce just didn't feel like he got a good jump. Maybe Bryce didn't feel like he got the read that he needed to get. That could have happened. He could have still had the green light and he didn't go. The point being is, if he steals second there, and it's still just a 3-0 game, he steals second and the Brewers offense starts sooner than the sixth inning, maybe it's a different result, but ultimately Gary ends up bouncing into a 5-4-3 double play and basically killing that rally before it even started.
Yeah, I think the aggressiveness on the bases, I mean, it goes hand in hand with, you know, a deficit, and, you know, that could have played in to part of that as well, being down three runs. I'm not sure, but that's just kind of naturally how it goes. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he still was in control at that point, and that small threat right there just doesn't materialize sometimes just because of where Perez is. But, you know, here's the thing. Little things like that, Dom, that you're trying to point out, you're only down three runs, and that's part of staying in the game. That's also the start of maybe we can apply a little pressure here at this point, you know, against him midway through his outing. But none of that happened because he was just on it today, and the guys behind him, you know, for the most part, played well.
When I look at what the Brewers' offense, when it's at its best, and we can make comments about the lineup today, and I understand where people might be shell-shocked by this Sunday lineup with no Contreras, and Frelick has been scuffling and he didn't get the start today. He came in late to do. But these Sunday lineups, we've talked about this a handful of times, but I have to repeat myself. These Sunday lineups aren't supposed to look this stark because of the injuries. When you're down Yelich, Vaughn, and Churio, and you throw in not having Contreras and Frelick in the starting lineup, people are going to freak out. That's five names they certainly know and they probably have jerseys of. And when you don't see them in the lineup, people go, oh my God, who are these guys? Well, three of them are hurt. One of them is really scuffling. And one of them, you need to make sure he's healthy at the end of the season. So I think that the Brewers are weathering this storm on days, but the fact that they can still win this series in the fashion that they did, you know, if this was a rubber game today, I don't know if we see this many off days, honestly, because the Brewers had won the series. Just say, you know what, let's, you know, we may lose this individual battle, but in order to win the war, you got to make sure you give Contreras a day, try to get Sal back on track, and then as sooner as opposed to later, when Churio and Vaughn and Yelly come back, this lineup will look like it's supposed to.
Yeah, you're right. And don't forget the day off tomorrow. I think when people look ahead at the schedule, they say shouldn't be an all-in day to try to get the sweep and whatnot. I don't think the goal, especially on the road, is to get sweeps in this game. It's to win series, and they already had the series win. And the injuries that they are trying to get through here right now are major, as you pointed out. So to say to some of these guys, Contreras, from the standpoint of, you know, 2 days not being behind the plate, and his next game will be Tuesday, is only going to help him. And Frelick as well, if they can keep him off his feet and let him clear his head for a couple of full days, a lot of times for guys that are really dialed in on the game and don't go through slumps like he has to start the season very often, are only beneficial. So the schedule is saying as well, there's a ton of days off in the first month of the season, and you got to figure out a way to take advantage of that as well, because the off days that we're seeing, the amount of them in April, we are not going to see in the second half of the season per month. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree entirely. A few texts that I've rolled in here. Alex from Oshkosh, tough one for the Brewers, but at least they still took 2 out of 3. Time to start a new winning streak Tuesday. This one from the 920. On to Detroit, tough one for the Crew. Bounce back. Tim Dillard mentioned over on television that some of these guys at the bottom of the order still need to generate a moment in order to really break a game open. The guys like Luis Matos, Greg Jones, Blake Perkins. Good to see Carlos Rodriguez get in there and look decent. I mean, honestly, C-Rod kept them in this game, which is certainly important to mark to point out. Doug, you can't always win with bunts and walks with this lineup today, but hey, not much happened. We'll take 2 out of 3. Mark, go figure. Miz has 30 pitches in the first and a 3-run inning costing the game, but he was solid the rest of the way. All right, take a quick breather. Back with more to assess for the Brewers at 12-9. It's really not as bad as you think it is. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Brewers fall today 5-3 to the Marlins with Greg Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. You know, when I text you the rundown here, Craig, I just sort of simply said, all right, impressed or concerned, 21 games of the season. I kind of just want to go into the facets of the game here, you know, of just different areas that the Brewers are dealing with right now, whether or not to be impressed or concerned. But the first baseline thing that we need to point out here is that everybody in the Central is above 500. And in fact, Cincinnati's about to win their 14th game to lead the division. The Cubs came back to hand the Mets their 11th straight loss, 2-1 the final there at Wrigley. Even the Cardinals have been sneaky impressive. They just beat the Astros again today, 7-5. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the Brewers are in for a dogfight. Oh, Pittsburgh also won today too. So that's 4 out of the 5 win today. The Brewers are the only ones that lose, but yet everybody is just squished one game apart right now in a very talented Central Division. So I'm very impressed with the rest of the NL Central so far this season.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we got a glimpse of that last year, maybe the last 2 years, that, you know, this division was going to, well, the teams had been struggling and trying to rebuild. It might be their time now to take that next leap, you know, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, namely. Still not sure exactly what stage the Cardinals are in, but it is a good division, bottom line. I mean, if they're staying competitive with a 97 team, Brewers win, a 97-win team from a year ago, and that team winning 3 straight division titles, and the Cubs always being right there competing and making playoff spots. Cincinnati did it last year. It's only going to be fun, and we haven't had any matchups yet, so at least from Milwaukee's side. So it's going to be highly entertaining if it stays as competitive as it is. And please give me as many playoff teams out of this division as we can too at the end. That'd be great.
Yeah, and you know, iron only sharpens iron, right? Where the Brewers can get better in their division. And look, the East is weird because the Phillies haven't played up to their standard. The Mets are Metsing. And then this Marlins team is better than I think people are giving credit for. Their offense is really good. Their bullpen's a little shaky. Obviously, they got 2 great front-end starters in Alcantara and Perez. But the thing that I'm concerned with right now for the Brewers, and maybe this will level out as the season goes on and you get more length from your starters, it's got to be the bullpen. Because, you know, even in today's game where D.L. Hall, and I want to give Hall a little bit of benefit of the doubt here, coming into this series, he hadn't allowed a run. And then he leaves it allowing runs in each of his last 2 games in Miami. So had a bad weekend. It is what it is. But if you're going to get as much rest as possible, given the chance for McGill and Uribe and Ashby and Serpa to reset today and tomorrow, that's going to be huge moving forward, because then the Brewers have another 6 straight games without an off day. Get some length from your starters, and the bullpen's going to perform better, but I am still a minor bit concerned about them.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, the Brewers have had a lot of come-from-behind wins thanks to the bullpen holding tight. And we almost saw it again today, but then, you know, the bullpen gives up a couple to extend that lead back out to 5-1. But I think with the injuries that this team is going through right now, if you just look at the pitching side, you got to believe that the starting pitching staff is only going to get better at this point. And you're right, if that happens and they start getting, you know, this kind of starts that we saw the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 games, when these guys are getting into the sixth, getting in through the seventh inning like Woody did yesterday. Those types of things can only help that bullpen. And so when you need them, you can get to the strength part of them and not have to rely on the mid-inning guys to either hold the lead or potentially give up a couple of runs that could cost you by the end of it. So that stuff to me is going to go hand in hand. But I think, you know, injuries, period, if the injuries and the numbers of injuries can start going down and the healthy guys start going up, this team's right back at it for sure.
Yeah, the health is the biggest thing too, and that's what I'm really excited about. I mean, the fact that Churio is swinging a bat again is good news. Quinn Priester continues to build up is good news. Vaughn's been taking ground balls. He just hasn't been able to swing a bat yet, which he should hopefully be back by mid-May. Yelly, there's no timeline, but you just haven't seen this team be full strength really at all this season, right? For one game, you could argue, when Vaughn got hurt in that first game and then he's out. But I think that's what I'm most excited about is that 21 games, they're 12-9. You know, if you do this seven more times, you're on an 86-win pace. And I think you and I both know this is probably the floor of what the Brewers are capable of, given everything that's been thrown at them.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with that. I mean, they should win more than 86 games if everything we're talking about starts to happen for them, for sure. You know, the depth has been huge for this team over the last several years. Right now, I don't think the depth is nearly as good as it could be, and probably not going to be the same guys that are trying to hold this team together either. I mean, they're relying on some guys here right now that maybe shouldn't be in the big leagues in April. I'm not sure. But they have, you know, a handful of guys, five or six guys right now that are hitting below 200 and some way below, you know, closer to 100 right now. Frelick, as you mentioned earlier, is in that pack as well, below 200. So, this stuff is not going to continue. And, you know, when these, you know, top level position guys get healthy and come back here within the next, hopefully, few weeks, month, I really believe this offense is really going to start clicking again.
Yeah. I mean, look at Joey Ortiz still doesn't have an extra base hit. David Hamilton still doesn't have an extra base hit. Very quietly, Luis Renjifo is tied for the team lead in doubles, by the way. I don't think anybody expected that. He's got six doubles. He had a great weekend, honestly. To get him back on track is super important for the crew moving forward. So 21 games in, an off day tomorrow, and some time off for you, Craig. Appreciate you as always, my friend, and thanks for hanging out with us this weekend.
You got it, Tom. Talk soon.
All right, Craig Kishon here on 620 WTMJ. I got to do a little buy or sell coming up next. Again, I mentioned I got some Marlins catching ticks, and I'm going to unload them coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
One of them days, Brewers fall 5-3 to the Marlins. Off tomorrow, on to Detroit next. The Brewers will be 5:40 on both Tuesday and Wednesday night for your first pitches. We'll have post-game shows after both of those. It'll be Bob Brainerd on Tuesday. I will be back on Wednesday. And then a 12:10 first pitch on Thursday. No post-game show for that one, but Brewers Weekly tape that night. Available on YouTube first thing in the morning on Friday. Now, let's do a little buy or sell here real quick. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. First thing I'm going to sell. We've had a lot of discussion, and even in spring training, Murph was open to the discussion about the Marlins releasing the fact that they're calling every pitch from the dugout this year. And I think it's very interesting to hear what people think about it from different perspectives. Football people, no surprise. Every play comes from the sideline anyway, unless you got a veteran, you know, quarterback who's able to run the hurry up with no problem. But that's no big deal in football. In basketball, you have some out-of-timeout plays, but generally, you're not calling a set on every single position up the court, right? And then hockey, it's maybe some set plays off face-off wins and power plays, but you're generally playing the game. So when the Marlins made that announcement, a lot of people overreacted. And by the way, there are other teams calling pitches from the dugout in certain situations. It's not just a Marlins thing, but they're doing it every pitch. The thing is that frustrates me about this is, number one, is you're taking value away and importance away from the catcher having feel for the game. And, you know, I kind of ranted about it in the first segment where Gary made a mistake calling a curveball. Now, Miz could have shook him off, of course, but, you know, maybe he wasn't comfortable shaking off a veteran like Gary. But calling the wrong pitch, basically the other way. Now, that's the Brewers' perspective. There were times in today's game that I'm sitting here going, what is taking so long to get a pitch in? What you would see the coaches on the top step, like looking at the clipboards, looking at everything, trying to figure out what pitch to call. And then they ultimately call a fastball. And I'm looking at, I'm like, you've got a dude pumping 98, shoving against the Brewers. Why are you overthinking this? And furthermore, this is where I'm most frustrated. And this is where I want to really rant. And baseball people can come at me. I don't care. If you're going to call every pitch from the dugout, fine. You can do that. You better make sure your pitchers are able to hold runners and your catchers are able to throw guys out and that the actual defensive part of catching is in tip-top shape. Because, oh, by the way, the Marlins have allowed the most stolen bases in baseball. Yuri Perez is popping a 1.4, 1.5 to the plate, which is molasses slow. That is a guaranteed stolen base, generally, in the eyes of base stealers around the league. We have seen poor transfers, poor physical throws to second base. It's just shocking to me that we're letting the position get neutered in the way that it has been neutered by the Marlins. I hope this does not catch on. I think that you look at Friday's game with William Contreras bringing Coleman Crow along. I'm going to make a video about this. And I'm going to break it down for you in simpler terms in Thursday's Brewers Weekly of some of the sequences to look out for of what we're talking about when it's like, this is what makes William Contreras and even Gary at times the great catchers that they are as far as feel for the game goes and reading swings and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to sell that, and I'm just so frustrated seeing it because the catchers aren't getting better, right? They think you can throw, and especially in the ABS era where framing isn't as important. Framing is still important, but you've got two really poor receivers there behind the plate in Hicks and Ramirez. It's just I fear for the future of the catcher position if we're okay with this. You know, and again, we don't work for the Marlins. We don't care. I can say this, but it's just like, I fear for the future value of a catcher. You know, go tell Pudge, go tell Johnny Bench, go tell Mike Piazza, hey, the dugout's going to call every pitch now. See how they react. Go tell Ted Simmons, Carlton Fisk, Thurman Munson, right? Feel for the game is one of the most important things about being a catcher. All right, little rant, soapbox, put that aside. It's no big deal. Now, one thing I'm buying right now from the Brewers, one thing I'm very excited about for the crew, and I want to put my hand up about being, you know, sort of banging the drum on Garrett Mitchell. I tweeted this earlier in his Baseball Savant page. It's so early. The sample size is so small. You see a lot of red, and then you see two columns that are dark blue. The two columns that are dark blue is his whiff rate and his strikeout rate, right? He is, you know, almost a three true outcome guy, just without the home runs. Three true outcomes meaning walks, homers, and strikeouts. So those are the only three true outcomes because no one else can impact the game other than the batter and the pitcher. But yet, he's got 16 walks, 26 strikeouts, and 67 plate appearances. That's north of 35% for his strikeout rate. He was the leadoff man today. He's got four stolen bases. He's got four doubles. He's got 16 walks. He's got a 439 on base. It's such a weird anomaly where he has barrels, he has hard hits, he has great speed. And I'm just reminding myself, you know, he's not even at last year's total of plate appearances at 78. And he's already got more strikeouts, but he's also got more walks, and he's got more hard hit balls than he did at this time last year, and then he got hurt, and the rest of the season goes on. I'm really wondering, I'm excited to see, like, maybe if Garrett is able to stay healthy and is able to play virtually every day, maybe he gets some more days off against lefties, which is something to monitor, of course. But I'm really excited to see if maybe by the year end, you see his April and May strikeout rate be 37, 38, 39%. And everyone's like, oh, geez. And then at the end of the year, it ends up being like 33, 32. That means he's going to have some months back down closer to league average, right? He's going to need a month or two where he can show, hey, I can strike out 28% of the time, which is still slightly above league average. But again, say, look at all this other damage I'm doing. That's going to happen. We are 67 plate appearances back into the healthy Garrett Mitchell era. But when he's making contact, it's electric and it's super fun to watch. And I hope that, you know, as the Brewers give him this leash, things are going to go in their favor, trusting him to play center field. I mean, we haven't seen Perk for like a week until he came into the game today. We saw Brandon Lockridge play center field today and Garrett be the DH. So I'm buying all the stock in Garrett Mitchell. I really am. I do believe in the player. I believe in the talent. I believe he has the right attitude to it. He's a patient person. And I'm just reminding myself of that guy that we saw in August in the second half of 2024, obviously leading into the epic home run in game two of the wild card round. But that second half back in 2024, really from August on, was sneaky great. But a 265 average in the second half with an 827 OPS. 7 of his 9 homers came in the second half that year. Yes, a lot of strikeouts, but let's give him some time and see if he can get that closer to a 30 to 33% strikeout rate as opposed to flirting with 40%. Let's get some a couple of highlights that happened today. I do want to point those out. We'll hear from Murph a little bit later. Just going to the top of the hour here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today by a 5-3 score. Central is always competitive here on the text line. That's a good point. Off day tomorrow, and you're gonna see Scooble, I think, this week coming up against the Tigers. More on that in the final segment. But now, there were some bright spots in this game. Let's get you some highlights.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
So, the Brewers fell behind 3-0 early in this game, highlighted by an error, a run-scoring double play, and a base hit to left, and the Brewers were really behind early, but Jacob Mazurowski really recovered well from there. He struck out the side in the second, two more strikeouts leaving two stranded in the third, and then two more strikeouts even in the fourth. Get that up here in just a moment, but the Brewers then also needed to get some more innings out of Jacob Mazurowski. He was able to get through five today with 9 strikeouts in the contest. Now, the Brewers didn't get on the board until the sixth. David Hamilton created the first run of the game with his legs. A walk, a stolen base, a throwing error into center field, got him the third. Ground ball got him in, making it 3-1. Brewers got some help from their defense in the sixth. Now, D.L. Hall had a tough sixth inning, and then it was Grant Anderson coming in to try to make sure the damage would stop at 5-1, and Bryce showing off the platinum.
2-2 pitch. Lined, and a one hopper snared by Terang, throws to first, and he gets Otto Lopez. That is a platinum glove play from Bryce Terang. Saved 2 more runs from scoring.
Jeff and I are on the same page there with the call. So there was even a play right before that where he was able to cover first base on a little glove flip from Jake Bowers. That was a really important play too. And the Brewers, though, still trying to find some offense. They would get it with a 2-out rally in the eighth, loading the bases after back-to-back walks with 2 outs by the lefty to Garrett Mitchell and Bryce Terang. Gary made him pay.
2-0 pitch to Sanchez. Here it comes. Ground ball up the middle, base hit. Frelick scores. Mitchell will score. Throw to second to keep Sanchez from getting there. It's a 2-run single. Tying run is on for Milwaukee. It's 5-3.
And then the go-ahead run, you know, coming to the plate, or I should say tying run, coming to the plate with William Contreras coming off the bench to be a pinch hitter. Could this be the moment?
Brewers defense going to look a little funky. Here's the 0-1. Fly ball, shallow left. Stowers comes in and makes the catch. Inning over.
And that would pretty much be the last threat for the Brewers offense. They would go down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning against Pete Fairbanks and drop this contest by a 5-3 final score. But the good news is Bryce Terang extended his on-base streak. He's reached base in every game he's played in this year. Now 18 and 25 games going back to last season. The bad news is with William Contreras pinch hitting, he loses his 13-game hitting streak. We'll hear from the manager coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, no sprinkles, like we said earlier today. Brewers win the series, drop the finale, no sweep. 5-3 the final. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after the loss.
Yeah, I thought he did a nice job. He pitched five innings, you know, nine punch outs, three hits, or whatever it was, three or four hits, one earned run. I think it's admirable. The leadoff walks hurt him. That's unacceptable. But he's thrown a ball great, you know, but we didn't make a play for him. And, you know, I just try to settle him down and say, hey, look, give up a run or two, that's fine, and stay in the game, and we'll come back and win. And he did a nice job of settling in after they threw the ball good. Pitch count was up a little bit in terms of what the efficiency that he needs. But I thought he threw the ball good, and I think he learned something today about it.
Was the error, when you look back at that whole game, that error in the first, a lot happened after that? Because that kind of stands out?
It's a difference maker in the game, and it happens. It happens to everybody. Hammy came back and had a really nice game. You know, he did a lot of really nice things for us. But, yeah, that hurts us a lot. But I'm proud of this club. That's all I can tell you. You know, we're battered. You guys can see that. Offensively, we've got three of our top five hitters out and to battle through this. And they've been out, and two of them have been out the whole year. So I'm proud that we battle every game and we're in it. And we're not playing great, or we're not. Everybody's not on playing their best. But at the same time, I'm really proud of them. And then the pitching injuries we've had, also, you know, with one of our top starters, one of our top relievers. It's really good that we've hung in as young as we are on the mound. I think it's been really admirable. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm satisfied or anything else. I'm proud of the club, the way they battle every game.
On the hit by pitch in the first inning on Stowers, right? Did you guys ask for a check swing? Was that an option there?
Yeah, we did. Before, they said no.
Before the challenge, or can you ask for after?
No, we asked for it before the challenge. Okay. But it didn't matter. He said he didn't swing. The third base umpire said no, didn't swing. So.
In these Miz starts, it feels like there's kind of just been this one thing that's thrown him off, whether it was kind of the cold and getting to him at the end in Boston, or umpire delay, or whatever it is. What do you kind of make of where he's at and throwing the ball?
I think he's throwing the ball great. You know, I think he's progressing. You know, you're going to have these types of things happen, but he took care of what he needed to take care of. He wasn't efficient today, but he was, you know, he was good. And it's a really good sign.
He's close. I agree. I think that Miz is showing. I mean, he didn't even throw a changeup today. The fastball command was erratic, but the breaking ball command was pretty good. And this is something I'm going to talk about on Thursday's Brewers Weekly, too, is like, we need to stop calling that slider a slider. It's a cutter. And I think if you shape your mindset of what that pitch really is, the curveball is his primary breaking ball. The cutter can be used as a weapon, and the fastball, oh, by the way, it's triple digits. I think that we need to rethink his arsenal, because it's better than we're giving it credit for. Take a break and preview the Tigers series as our last break here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, the projected rotation was accurate that we gave you last night, but to reiterate here, as the Brewers get ready to go to Detroit, again, no game tomorrow. It's a Monday off day. Kyle Harrison will make his return to the starting rotation. He took a couple extra days off after the collision, the fall, the poor throw at first, whatever you want to call it. But he is starting Tuesday's game against Kader Montero. Again, 5:40 Central Time first pitch. There will be a postgame show after that on Tuesday. Wednesday, same time. It'll be Chad Patrick on the mound against Casey Mize, the former 1-1. And then a good one on Thursday, the young Brandon Sproat having the matchup with Tarik Skubal. Skubal won the matchup last year against the Brewers here at American Family Field, so he will get to face them for a second straight year. That game, though, is at 12:10 Central Time, 1:10 Eastern, and no postgame for that show. And also a reminder, I will not be on the postgame on Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday. I'm actually off to Boston for Marathon Monday tomorrow. Yankees and Red Sox for our friends at TBS. And while we're out of here talking TV, anybody listening, I want to give you a quick PSA. If you signed up for Brewers.TV, you know, online and through MLB and everything, and you got that free trial to ESPN Unlimited, hey, that free month is coming up. Don't forget to cancel that subscription because you will get auto-renewed into ESPN Unlimited. So this is your PSA if you made it to the end of the podcast here. Hey, don't forget to cancel that ESPN free trial that you got through Brewers.tv. That was not a Brewers decision. That's a Major League Baseball decision. If you got an issue with it, take it up with Major League Baseball. But the point being, if you don't want it, I'm warning you, don't forget to cancel it. You still got like a week or so to do it. But I'm just saying, do it tomorrow. Just do it. You got an off day. You're not watching anyway. You don't got anything to worry about. Log in. Cancel that ESPN Unlimited, whatever. Boom. You're good. Nothing to worry about. Cool? Cool. Don't say I didn't warn you. And then the Brewers come back home coming up this weekend against the Pirates. Homestand with the Pirates and the Diamondbacks. It'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off day, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the Snakes. Now, up ahead here for the Brewers as well, the other things to keep an eye out for right now for the Brewers down in AAA, Tyler Black returned to the starting lineup today, which is great news for him. He had been dealing with a shoulder impingement down in AAA, so the left-handed great eye is back in the order. Jet Williams has been putting together a couple of really good games. He homered yesterday, had a double today as well. Cooper Pratt had the day off today, though, too. And Shane Drouin pitched very well today. Five innings, just six hits and two runs, both earned, and three strikeouts. And Craig Yoho finally returned to AAA in Nashville today. Yoho, three outs, four batters faced, just one walk, no strikeouts, but Yoho is back on a mound. So that's very good news for the crew. That is going to just about do it for our program here on this Sunday evening. Thank you so much for listening. Again, Brewers All Access wherever you get your podcasts and over on the WTMJ YouTube. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Keep on swinging.